Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Don't forget to call Dad today. Okay? Good. We'll have some more time afterwards to have some coffee, so please stick around for that. We're finishing up our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in this about a year and a half, and it's been great. And if you missed any, you can text Genesis, and Deborah will help you out with a YouTube link, perhaps, to where they're all at, if you want to go back and watch some of them. I didn't set you up for that. Sorry about that, Deborah. She'll get it to you sometime. But so anyway, if you would, stand again. I'm going to read today's scripture, our last one in this series. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Let's stand, and we'll revere God's word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is God's word. You can be seated. If you've ever built a house or are planning to build a house, you've most likely spent some considerable time thinking about the foundation. Think about what you're going to build this edifice on. The foundation may be the least appreciated of all the aspects of a house. I mean, you know, take for example, like, if you built a house and you get it done and you start to invite people over, what do you show them when they come over? Like, you want them to see the great layout of the house, the open concept, you know, that you can be in the kitchen making dinner and you can see the TV. Isn't that cool? Or you may have some maple, you know, hardwood flooring, and you want people to see that. I mean, it's the beauty of it. How nice it looks. Or the color scheme. Like, look at these colors that I chose. Look at the paint job in the living room. Those kinds of things. But probably you're not going to have somebody over and say, hey, let's go down into my basement and I'll move some of the stuff away from the wall so that you can see my foundation. I mean, how many of you would do that? Maybe some crazy mason or something might do that. But most of us wouldn't, you know, we don't even think about it. It's kind of underappreciated, but it's the most important thing if you're going to build a house. Tying your house into a secure foundation is the most important thing in the house. So there's kind of different ways to tie your house into a foundation. One way that I've used from my experience, they're called tapcons. If you ever heard of it, raise your hand. Little tapcons. So I've got some examples up here. Basically, it's this little screw. We've got a picture of one as well. But what you do is you get your drill out, your hammer drill out, right? And the sill plate is kind of the part of the construction of the house. It's a board, and you drill through that, and then you drill into the foundation. You pull it out, then you take your hammer drill again, you get a bit on it, and then you run the screw through the sill plate into the foundation, and you tighten it up, and you do that all over, all the way around. And so then you have something like this, and I want to thank Scott Garziella. I was camping for a few days this week, and he helped me with all this. Isn't he a great guy? So anyway, this is what you have. You've got a tapcon, and you've got a sill board, and this is, I'm hoping this doesn't fall off. The properties team will kick my butt if I leave a dent in the floor here, but I mean, it is securely in there. The house is attached to this rock, to this bedrock, okay? And so it's important that you're tied into something, that house is tied into something. Now, the reason? Because every house gets tested. Every house gets tested. There's going to be winds. We were down in Ludington for a couple days, and there were some winds down there. We were camping. Fortunately, we were in a camper, and somebody else in our group, they were in tents. 6 a.m, pound, 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 please help us. The tent was flattened, and water was going in, and so we helped, you know, get their stuff moved out. And then we went back into the safety of our camper. It was nice. But it's going to get tested. Storm, wind, blizzards. I know we have quite a few new people moving to Petoskey. This is a beautiful time of the year. But there will, and you know what? It's interesting that the east wind, when there's a blizzard, it takes stuff out. So here's a picture that represents the idea that houses get tested. If you'd please put that up there. Thank you. So this is what a hurricane does, okay? And we've got basically one house standing on a secure foundation. So we know that. We know that houses will get tested. We live in northern Michigan. There's blizzards. We're going to have that east wind come in. And so we need to be tied in to a secure foundation. And what Jesus is saying here is this. He's saying everybody builds their life on something. Everybody builds their life on something. Everybody ties their life to something. What are you tying your life to? What are you tying into? What are you tapconing yourself to? This is what Jesus is saying. And just be aware, whatever you're tapping into, it's going to get tested. It's going to get tested in this life. So Jesus is really teaching that people build their lives on different things. And there's a wise way and there's a foolish way. So today we're going to look at three different ways people build their lives, three different ways. It's really straightforward here. The first one is no foundation, and it's basically no lasting foundation. What they're building their life into, it isn't going to last. It's temporary. It's temporal. And then there's the shallow foundation. So we'll look at that. It's kind of like tapped in a little bit, but it's backfilled with a lot of other things. It really undermines the security of the edifice. And then there's the secure foundation. There's the bedrock, and we'll talk about that. So no foundation. Now, no one goes out in life and says, I'm going to build my life on nothing. No one does that. That's crazy. But it's just funny, you know, how the years go by, the days go by, and the next thing you know, you find yourself kind of connected to something that doesn't last, okay? We're tempted constantly to tap into things that are temporary. It's no secret here. Tim Keller is one of my favorite authors, and he wrote a book a few years ago. It's in the notes. If you'd like the notes for today's talk, just text notes to our team, and we'll get you a link so that you can see the resources there. But there's a book that Tim Keller wrote. It's called Counterfeit Gods, The Empty Promises of Money, Sex, and Power, and The Only Hope That Matters. Great book. Highly recommend it. And in the book, he talks about, if anything is more fundamental than God in your life, to your happiness, to your meaning in life, your identity, it's a counterfeit God. Okay? So if there's anything in your life that's kind of put up into what I'd call an ultimate place, a high place, like higher than God, it's a counterfeit God. It's an idol. Okay? And so we do that. created things kind of leak into our lives, and we look to them, these created things, to give us meaning, to give us hope, to give us happiness, but eventually they're going to fail. They're going to kind of wash away like sand, and they're going to break our hearts, okay? Only the Lord can give lasting meaning. Only he's the only one that can give that hope that endures beyond what can happen to us in this world. He's the only one that can give us lasting joy. Counterfeit gods can be very outward type things. These are good things. Things that are created are to be enjoyed, but not worshipped, okay? So, I mean, houses, boats, houseboats, even retirement portfolios, somebody that's saved. I mean, that's a good thing to do that. But if our hope is in that, if we're tapping our life into that, we may see it washed away. Some kind of a claim. In the book of Proverbs, there's a great passage. It says, "Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust in your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off like an eagle." Proverbs 22, 4 and 5. Material things are fleeting. If you've ever bought a new car and kept it long enough to see rust up in it, you know what I'm talking about. The agony of seeing it begin to deteriorate. Things are fleeting. You know, it is Father's Day, and I just challenge fathers, you know, what are you aspiring to? What are your kids seeing you aspire to? As Jim prayed just a little bit ago, what are you introducing them to? Things that are fleeting? Okay. Sometimes counterfeit gods are a little more subtle, though. Maybe they're not material things, but they can be concepts. It can be like, basically, I want to be liked by everybody, and that's my counterfeit god. If only people will like me, then I'll be happy. If you've ever said something like that, if only fill in the blank happened, then I'll be happy. You may have a counterfeit god at work in your life. See, something is raising up really high. It could be a potential marriage partner. Some people, if I only had a spouse, then I would be happy. Or if I only had a child, I can't have a child. Or if I only had children, if I had more than one, then I'd be happy. Now, again, these are all good things, and they're all to be enjoyed. But if you make them ultimate things, it's like anchoring to sand. I've got another sill plate and a big old tapcon, and this is a block of sand, okay? And you just kind of tap into it. But then look what happens. It moves around. And there's nothing there. It's not holding on. I don't know if you over there can see it, but trust me, it moves around in the sand. And if a little wave came up, it would begin to eat it away and it'd be gone. So do two diagnostic questions on this. To see if you have no foundation, to really think about that. What do you think about in your solitude? When it's just you, you know, you're at the beach, let's say, since we got sand up here. And you just kind of, you know, there's nothing to do. There's no honey-do list. There's no work to do. You're just there. What do you think about? What's on your mind? What do you dream about? And then test that. Is that what I'm anchoring my life to? Here's the next one. It's a shallow foundation. Okay, shallow foundation. So up here, I have another one of these bricks, and we drilled a little hole into it, just a tiny one, and it just comes right off. It's kind of into it. You can kind of see it went through the sill plate a little bit, maybe. And it's not there. I mean, if you kind of pull at it like this, but if it gets moved around, it gets pulled right off. It's just not enough of a, it's not drilled down. You haven't drilled down into your faith, and it's just kind of, it can pull off. So you're tied into the Lord Jesus, but just barely. You have faith in God, but the real motive behind your faith in God may be that He'll complement your life. But He'll complement your life. you have God so that He'll help you get what you want. It's very superficial, like this. It's just, it's not quite through. It's not drilled down in. It's just, it's kind of at the surface. And this might be like someone, you know, they know the Lord Jesus. They know of Him, maybe is a better way to say it. You know, maybe they said a sinner's prayer. They heard a message about sinfulness, and they heard that Christ came into the world to pay the price for their sins. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. I want that. And so almost a consumeristic mindset with that. But they really haven't surrendered their lives. They're still holding back parts of their lives, compartments of their lives. It could be a sin issue. It could be some matter of idolatry. You know, like the old saying is the last thing to get converted is a person's wallet. You know, like, I'm not giving money. I'm not giving money to other people. Are you crazy? You know, I worked hard for that money. You know, that's just an example. They haven't surrendered all of their lives. They're not fully trusting Christ. They're still in the driver's seat. You know, they want forgiveness. They want heaven. I mean, who doesn't want heaven? I mean, come on. And they want Jesus to do for them. They want Jesus to do what they want to be done in their lives. And so it's really a transactional relationship. And I'm just going to say, this is rampant in our churches. People come to church. People give. People serve so they'll get. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then God will bless me. God will give me what I really want. I really don't want relationship with God. I really want that stuff, whatever that is. It's a very shallow faith. It's not anchored in, and it'll get ripped out really easy. Sometimes it's people, you know, we talk about to know Christ and make Him known, as Kathy shared just a few moments ago. That kind of know isn't just intellectual. It's relational. It's like to know someone. Like, yeah, I know of that person. Like, do you know John? Yeah, I know of him. I don't know him personally. See, this is the same thing. It's like people intellectually, they know who Christ is. He came into the world. They know what His teaching is. They're actually pretty smart. They probably know a lot. They know the Sermon on the Mount. But they really don't know Him personally. They haven't trusted in Him. Just an acquaintance. And it's just a shallow thing. And so therefore, you know, Jesus says that the wise one is the one who knows the message, that knows Christ, knows the message, and puts it into practice. And the one that has a kind of a shallow foundation, they know the intellectually, they know the thing, they know Christ, who He is, what He came to do, they know some of His teaching, but they don't put it to practice. They don't really bank into it. And this is what Jesus calls sand. This is all just kind of washed away. The storms are going to come and are going to rip your anchor out. The message is like a paraphrase of the Bible, and this is what it says in rendering part of this passage. It says, but if you just use My words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. And so, you know, a diagnostic question on this one is, do I really want the Lord? Do I really want Him, or do I want His stuff? Do I want His blessing? Do I want Him to do what I want Him to do? Do I want Him to give what He can give? And being able to recognize that that very thing that you may be wanting God to do may be your counterfeit God. This is the only thing I want, God, is this. That's a sign that it may be like that counterfeit God. Let's look at the secure foundation. In verse 24 it says, he who hears these words of Mine and puts them into practice, deep, deep, this person, they're deep, they're way in there, okay? They're all the way through. And There's deep trust in the character of God. They can't see everything. None of us can see everything. We don't know. You know, things happen and it's so hard and it's like, oh no. And okay, I trust, I'm anchored into the rock. I trust him despite not knowing what God is doing, why he's allowed, for example, coronavirus. He's permitted it. Why? But I trust him. I have deep trust in the character of the Lord, that he's good, that he loves me, that he's sovereign. I can't control these other things. This is like sand over here, you know? But I can tap into him. Now, how is that fleshed out? What does that look like on a day-to-day level? Well, it's in the passage. It says, listening. And that's putting yourself in front of God's word. That's like, I think, on many levels, it's a personal choice. Like, I have a personal discipline. A follower of Christ should have a personal discipline of listening to the word every day or most days. A corporate listening of the word, which is gathering together with the church and hearing what the Lord is saying to the church. That's a part of our responsibility and will deepen us in him. And then the second part, you know, first part is listening. The second part is applying it. It's taking it and going out and practicing it, putting it into practice. None of us practices it perfectly. No one does, aside from Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. He was perfect. But none of us are. And you could find flaws in my life, you know, coming up close to me and watching me live. You would find flaws in my life. I would find flaws in your life. That's not the point. The point is we're hearing, we're listening, and then we're trying to figure out how do I take that word, that truth from God, and apply it into my life, work it out into my life, flesh it out, not just hear it, let it, you know, like a pinball machine, and then out the other ear. No, like it rattles around in there, and it's like, okay, based on that word, this, based on the character of God, based on his word to me, this is what, how I'm going to apply that. This is how I'm going to execute that in my life. There's a person, her name is Melinda Ludquist, and there, this interview is in the notes, but interviewed by Christianity Today a little while back. She was part of a 10-year study by University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Notre Dame University. And it was a study, it was a 10-year study of youth and their faith. It went on for 10 years, and they did all kinds of surveys and trying to understand faith in the lives of American youth. And what they found through this study is there's two kinds of Christians, two kinds of Christians. There's the one kind I was describing just a minute ago. There's the kind of people that would categorize themselves as Christians. And basically, God is there, the Lord is there to complement their lives. God, help me do what I'm trying to do. That's one type of Christian. Okay. And then there's another kind, and it's this, they're deeply connected here. It's the Lord is in the driver's seat. Okay, here's a brief quote. There's a very small group. The other group is bigger. Okay, so this is something we should all consider. The other group is much bigger. The other group that categorizes themselves as Christians is much bigger. This one is much smaller from their study, where religion is what we call the driver of their life. It's the driving force of their lives. Everything they do is informed by their faith. It's a part of what motivates their life choices, their careers, their educational decisions. And she says this, that's a very small group of people. We did see some of them, but not many. How do you get there? How do you get to that point where you're all in? Christ is in the driver's seat. The Lord is in the driver's seat. Well, one thing that is so important is really understanding the salvation of Christ. What he has done. How foundational the things that he's done. Amazing what he's done by coming down into our world and saving us. Taking our place, showing us mercy and grace, and to understand that and to rehearse that regularly, that we're sinners and that God loves us and has given us His mercy and His grace. Faith, that's the gospel. And faith in the gospel, it restructures everything. It restructures our self-understanding, our identity, and our motivations. That's the kind of foundation that will last. Here's the thing, is all houses look the same until the river rises. They all look the same. But then when the storm comes, that's when we see what's going to happen, what they've been tapped into. All lives look similar until hit with a life crisis. If we're not tapped into the bedrock, the passage says, great is the collapse. I'm going to have Zach come up right now. We're going to have some time just to for extended reflection here a little bit this morning. And a big question that I want to ask you that I think will really help you understand where you are, you know, if you're built on sand or if you're shallow or if you're secure, this is the secure one, or if you're shallow here, is are you constantly anxious and afraid? Is anxiety a huge part of your life? You're just constantly anxious about things. You're afraid. Or do you have peace and confidence? The song we sang a little earlier, we're all weak, but through Christ we're made strong, because if we're tied into Him, He takes away. Let me pray. Dear God, thank You for this opportunity to have some space to just think about our foundation. May You guide and direct our time of reflection. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.